I invite you to open a Bible with me at this time to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 51. You find it on page 770 in your Bible there in front of you. Isaiah 51, I'll be reading verses 4 through 8. Isaiah 51, verses 4 through 8. Listen to God's word for us again this night. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Hear me, you who know what is right, you people who have my law in your hearts. Do not fear the reproach of men or be terrified by their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment. The worm will devour them like wool. But my righteousness will last forever. My salvation through all generations. This is God's word for us this evening. One of the things I enjoy doing, and in part it comes as a perk of the position I have as pastor, but I read a lot. If you've ever been in my office, you'll see that there's quite a few books on those shelves, and I can say with a certain amount of pride that I've read most of them. They're not just there for show. But in the current economy of literature, a lot of the way I read is online. I read a lot of blogs. I read a lot of just articles that people post. And maybe it's part of the danger of the internet these days, but it feels like everybody thinks they not only have an opinion, but somebody wants to hear it. In the midst of reading all of this, it comes to mind that there's a growing mindset, and I don't know if it's anything new. The Ecclesiastes tells us there's nothing new under the sun, but it seems that there's a growing mindset, in particular on mom blogs, and yes, I will confess, I do read some of those, because I do find it interesting. But there's this growing mindset, and it's exasperated by the endless chatter on the internet, but this mindset that says that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you live or what you do, there is nowhere that is safe. You live in the country? Well, that's just where the aliens are going to get you. I'm serious, right? There's blogs all about that. You live in the city? Oh, forget it. If crime doesn't get you, the rat race will take you down. Hidden in a lot of the despair I sense in our culture today is this longing for security. But when popular writers tell us that the world is going to the dump in a handbasket, we worry about our future. And when we read and hear about this growing threat of terrorism, we worry if we'll ever feel safe. And none of this is insignificant. In many ways, it forces us, and by us I mean God's people, and by God's people I mean those who believe that God is sovereign and that in Jesus he has clearly dictated how things are going to end. If in anything, all that swirls around us that is filled with anxiety and worry forces us to be crystal clear on what it means to trust in God. Now, thankfully, when it comes to this, we don't have to depend on our own wit. In the shadow of all our fears, Scripture, much like our passage tonight in Isaiah, Scripture calls us to walk by faith. Now, some of what we're going to hear tonight was not intentionally designed to be an echo of what you heard this morning. When I first chose this passage, it struck me as just being a very powerful picture and imagery again. But after preaching this morning's message, I'm reminded that there's a lot of echoes of that truth that just reverberates through Scripture. We're going to hear some of that again tonight. One of the challenges we talked about this morning, and it's no less true for our passage tonight, is that when we're living in the present, and it's not wrong to live in the present, it's wrong to live for the present, but when we're living in the present and all we see is the trees in front of us, sometimes we fail to see the forest, as the saying goes. The problem is if we're only looking at the problems, we're sure to miss out on the one who is sovereign in all of it. And our circumstances behind this evening's text in particular concern God's people because they're consumed. They're consumed with a pressing problem. And that problem is that by this point in the book of Isaiah, God's people have been taken into captivity. They're in a foreign land. They've been torn away from their homes. They're nowhere near where the temple is. And as you can imagine, or maybe you can't, but I hope you will, you have to imagine that far from home, far from the temple, far from anything that you felt was good and secure, is only insecurity. Each day seems longer than the last, and the wait goes on and on. And it always comes down maybe to one question at the end of each day for God's people. Where is the hope? Now we know, because God tells us, that the people were in captivity because of their sin. They were there because of their disobedience. They were there as a consequence. But in the midst of it, right even before, because best textual critics will say that the book of Isaiah was written before they were in captivity, so even before they go there, even if it was written while they were there, God sends this beautiful message here in the book of Isaiah chapter 51. First of all, listen again to verse 4 and 5. And again, the context, and it's not so unfamiliar in our culture today, but I want you to consider that you're one of God's people in that day, and you've been torn from your land, and you're living in captivity, and you hear these words from God. He says, "Listen to me." And I take that and I put the emphasis on there, don't listen to your fears, okay? Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. Of course, all they can see is their current circumstance. But God says, I want to remind you, there is more than what you see. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way. And my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Let me just stop there with verses 4 and 5. Now again, remember, God's people, they're in captivity. By faith, they recognize they're there because of their own sin, their own disobedience, and they're being tested. Now fear is obviously very natural. Fear is very natural in this situation. But God is reminding them in this beautiful verse here, be careful of what you put your faith in. See, they were losing hope, and their walk of faith was turning into a crawl, and eventually it would turn into a standstill. And what they need, says God, is I need you to have a vision. I need you to have a perspective which says, which knows, which believes what I'm telling you. And that is, there is more to the story. You need to see more than what's in front of you. Look again at verse 4 and 5. He says, hear me, he says. Don't listen to those things that you're caught up in because you're far from home and far from the temple and such. Hear me, he says. Listen to me. The law, which is a great metaphor for God's justice, God's righteousness, he says, the law, it will go out from me. I haven't forgotten you. My justice will become a light to the nations. Right? My righteousness draws near speedily. And God's just emphasizing like a hammer on a nail. He says, you need to see there is more here. And I need to get your attention. God often needs to do that. He needs to do that with us. And with Israel, he does that in a very personal way. Again, look at those first words. He says, listen to me, my people. No other God says this about anybody but our living God. He says, you are my people. You are my nation. You scoundrels. You liars. You cheaters. You sinners. You are mine. I mean, God hasn't forgotten his people, right? He calls attention to that, that they are his possession. Now, why does he have to emphasize that? We don't know exactly, but we can infer from the overall context that he needs to remind them because they're forgetting. Forgetting. And forgetfulness is like a sin of our people, right? Because of everything going around us sometimes in life, this happens, right? The example, you're in a marriage, and that marriage starts fracturing a little bit because the relationship is strained, and pretty sure all you can see is the brokenness, and you forget the promise, right? The vow that's made on that wedding day. I and you, we together till death do us part. Right? But if all you can see is the muck and the mire and the mess, you forget there's the promise. And faith is not unlike that. Sometimes and oftentimes we're going through life and things are hard, things are messy, things get complicated, and we forget that over all of it is a promise, which God says, you are mine. I'm not going to let you go. I am with you. I am for you. We suffer from amnesia in this regard. We forget this. Too easily, we're blinded, again, by the things that we see right in front of us. And it could be fear, but it could be anger, it could be foolishness, whatever it is. It gets in the way like blinders of us seeing who God is, see who God, what God does, see how God cares for his own. And that can consume us. The prophet Isaiah begins here in verse 4 and 5, quoting God. He says, look, I need you to have this vision, this clarity of vision. And what do you need to see very specifically? Let's look at verse 6 for a moment. Lift up your eyes. So you have to imagine that their eyes are downcast, as the psalmist says sometimes. Why are your eyes downcast, right? Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies, but my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. When I hear verse 6, it reminds me of Psalm 121, right? I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Not from the hills, but from the one who created them. And so God is saying here in verse 6, look at the world around you. It seems so permanent. You look around and what do you see? You see stars in heaven. You see glorious mountains. You see plains and endless rivers and valleys filled with flowers and trees. You see creation in all of its majesty. And God says, yes, but that will not last. Real hope is connected not to creation, but to its creator. So when you lift up your eyes from your troubles, when you lift up your eyes from your hardships, when you lift up your eyes from the times of great doubt and struggle, God says, don't look at the world around you as permanent as it seems. Don't look at this church, because this church isn't permanent either. Don't look at your home. Don't look at things that think you are going to satisfy your life in. I want you to look above all of that to what's going to last. Because faith must rest in that which is eternal. Now, why is that so important? Because I know you know, and I know this. And we see it in our world today that too often we are putting faith in what doesn't last, in what can't deliver us. We check our bank accounts and put faith in the fact that there will be enough there when we retire. But that can lure us into a false sense of security because none of that lasts. And we can look either at our pension, or we can look at our homes, and we can look at our children, and we can look at our legacy and all these sort of things, and this false sense of faith can fill us. But ultimately, faith tells us we can only put our trust in the one who is over all of it, and the one who says, I'm with you and for you, because someday, even if God in his mercy should grant you long life, God says, everything else will vanish like smoke. It's just going to wear out like a garment. But I want you to know, my salvation, he says, it will last. It's forever. So God's people have been called to this new vision. And with this new clarity and vision of who God is, he says, look, I want you to know that what I'm telling you, it's the real deal. It will last forever. But realistically now, we ask the question, which I have to imagine God's people asked while they were in captivity. Okay, you've said, see, we see you, but we're not there yet. What do we do in the meantime? I mean, we're all sojourners, right? We talk about that as a faith image. And so like Israel's situation, there's much to be said about all that beats against us as we wait. So how are we supposed to get there? What are we supposed to do? And I think that's where verses 7 and 8 speak powerfully to us tonight. Listen again to these verses. Because here God tells us, I want you to walk by faith. Hear me, you who know what is right, you people who have my law in your hearts. Do not fear the reproach of men or be terrified by their insults, for the moth will eat them up like a garment, the worm will devour them like wool, but my righteousness will last forever, my salvation through all generations. So the question is, how do we wait? Because the reality is, we know life can be very hard. The context of our passage is God's people are in captivity, and even though God's told them it's only going to be 70 years, it's going to be 70 years, but how do they wait until that time? He says, I want you to believe. I want you to trust. I want you to walk by faith. You're going to hear the reproach of men, and you're going to be insulted by them, but I don't want you to be taken off track by that. Don't do that. Here's what I want you to know. My righteousness will last. My salvation through all generation. And what God's doing here is something I need to know and hear all the time, and I'm sure you do too. It's that we have this fixed point that we're looking for. In a chaos of life around us in which we hear about so many tragic realities, and in the church life, we hear of churches that are being split asunder by conflict, and we hear of marriages that are breaking apart, and we hear of children who are falling away from Jesus, and we hear of corporations which are bilking millions out of people, and we hear about others who are just polluting everywhere, and it seems so drastically ugly. And God says, look, I need to remember there is a fixed point to the Christian faith. So that whatever comes your way, you need to remember. God says, my salvation, it will come. He even goes on to describe how the weakest part of creation will take care of the things that bother you today. It's a marvelous picture, really. But God is saying, look, don't fear. Lord's Day 1 of the Catechism comes to mind. What is my only comfort in life and death? It is that I'm not my own but belong, right? I belong to Jesus. It's that when I stand in the presence of God Almighty through the blood of Jesus Christ, I believe by faith that nothing can separate me from Him anymore. I have this fixed point that I'm looking for. My grandmother, my Beppa, she was Frisian. Didn't talk a lot about her experience during the Nazi occupation of the Netherlands, other than she would share just little snippets. And I'm reminded of that as I was thinking about our message tonight. The Nazi occupation, she said, was a time of great despair. It was a time of great hopelessness. But in the little bit she shared, she said that in the midst of all of that despair, there was a remarkable love for God and a remarkable love for neighbor within the Christian community. Many people grew stronger in their faith, she said, as they hid Jews in their homes, much like my grandmother and grandfather did. And little did they know, of course, historically we have the perspective of seeing it now, but little did they know that the Allied armies were preparing to deliver them from occupation and restore all the Netherlands to freedom. And she said, I always knew the day was coming. I just believed it. I think we too, as followers of Christ, can get caught up in a time in which it's easy to lose hope. The question is, how do we wait? Some might say that we're worse off today than we were 40 years ago, that there's nowhere safe, You want to live in the country? That's where the aliens will get you. You want to live in the city? Crime will get you. But Christ's kingdom has come. And in Jesus Christ, that kingdom has never stopped growing since the day that Jesus took his place at God's right hand. And that is our fixed point. What does that mean for our walk of faith? It means we need to lean on the arms of Jesus. I recall a story I heard years ago. I think I read it in a book I was reading. And it was a story about a man who was trying to cross a wide river. It was the dead of winter. And he didn't know how much ice. He wasn't familiar with the area. And so he decided, because he was afraid it was thin ice, he began to crawl on his hands and knees, almost flat in his belly, across this river, terrified that at any moment the ice would crack and he would, you know, slip into his death in the icy waters. He thought he might fall through. And as the story goes, he just reached the opposite side of the shore. He's exhausted, right? He's worn out. And just at that moment, another man glided past him with four horses pulling a sled full of iron and smiled at him and said, "Top of the morning to you." Too often, I think we're like the first guy. But we need to be more like the latter. Instead of trembling at every step, as God was speaking to his people here in Isaiah, he says, "Do not be afraid. Listen to me," he says. "Hear me. You need to see a vision of my grace. And you need to know that everything you're going through, it cannot separate you from me. And then you need to fix your mind on this point that's coming when the day of my grace sets you free." What does faith look like if we're doing that? I think it's more like the second guy with four horses and a big cart full of iron ore or iron steel across an icy river, because we rest completely on God's promises. The biblical antidote always works. We heard it this morning. I will trust and not be afraid. I will not be dominated by fear, but my faith in Jesus Christ. May that be the antidote for our fears, because the world needs, God knows it needs, more people who will live courageous faith. Let's pray together. God in heaven, before we talk about any strength of our own, we must recognize that it is your strength. It is your grace, it is your goodness, it is your love for us which inspires us to live in remarkable ways. Forgive us for our tiny vision. Give us clarity in this regard. That before we begin lamenting so much in this world, that we would have a faith that calls us into life. Faith that reminds us daily that you, O God, in Jesus Christ, are still sovereign. And though this world with devils filled would threaten to undo us, yet we trust you are with us. Give us a faith that will stand again tomorrow and each day as we celebrate the one who is over all, in all, before all, and our King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.